How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King, locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melodies.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from MassLive.com, coming to you with Sam Jam Packard the Great. We've got a totally insane day from the NBA. This is the drunkest I can ever remember the NBA. We are 2 days away from the NBA draft. We've got Paul George trade rumors, Jimmy Butler trade rumors, Kristaps Porzingis maybe on the trade block. D'Angelo Russell got traded. Brooke Lopez got traded. Dwight Howard got traded. The NBA is collectively blacked out drunk. And it's been like one of the greatest days I can remember on Twitter. Just everyone having fun. Everyone going wild. Everyone reacting to the mess of things. A lot of what happened will impact the Celtics one way or another. Sam and I will have the backlash to what's going on. We will react, give you the impact on Boston first, because the draft is 2 days away, because the Celtics have the number three pick. Let's talk about the prospects that could be available. The Lakers, after trading Russell away, look like they're probably locked into Lonzo Ball at number two. We already know the 76ers plan to take Markel Fultz at number one. That leaves the Celtics with, you know, probably the two guys they were going to consider at number three, Jason Tatum and Josh Jackson. I assume right now that the decision is down to those two guys. Danny Ainge, obviously, he can do anything. He could pull a fast one. He could pick somebody else. But right now, I'm operating under the assumption it's either Jackson or Tatum. Sam, which one would you take?
Right now, I think I'm leaning towards Tatum, the whole Josh Jackson not working out for the Celtics thing, and it's not just not having the workout, but not having his medical records, I think is a bit of a weird scenario. Also, his shot is kind of is questionable. I know I've seen a lot of articles about his defensive intensity, and there's like the one story today, I think it was today, who knows what happened on Twitter. I don't, everything's getting mixed up, but like, sometime a walk-on scored on Josh Jackson. He didn't let him score for the rest of practice. Like, those are some stories that you think Danny Ainge would be really into. But I just think in the modern NBA, you need outside shooting. And I think Tatum is just a better overall shooter. I know he doesn't have, like, the best three-point numbers. He's more of a mid-range guy. At this point, I haven't really, like, fallen in love with either prospect like I did Markel Fultz, so I know I'll talk myself into either one who got drafted, but I feel like I have no idea where the Celtics are going to go, and I would be open to them really picking any of the prospects that are kind of on the big board right now from like 3 to 6. I kind of like the idea of Jonathan Isaac, just because I think they don't really have anyone with that kind of size on the roster, but at this point, I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea what's going to happen in the next 48 hours in the NBA alone. It feels hard to pick out a prospect in the draft.
I'm not a big Jonathan Isaac guy because I don't know what type of offensive player he'll be. And it would be really, really difficult for me to pick someone at three without thinking he has star potential at that end of the court. I think Josh Jackson and Jason Tatum are the two guys to me that make the most sense. I think Jason Tatum, he's got the skills and the skill set you want. He could be a big-time scorer. Like, if he develops a three-point shot, and it's a little bit of an if, but I'm kind of confident he will because of his free-throw percentage, because, according to everybody, he's a guy that really works at his game, and because his shot looks fine. Like, there's nothing broken about Jason Tatum's shot. He could be a big, big-time scorer. Josh Jackson does everything else, and I think I'm leaning toward the Celtics taking Josh Jackson because he's such a dog. He's such a competitor. And for all the reasons we've said from day one, like, Josh Jackson is a Danny Ainge type of guy, I would not be at all surprised if the Celtics take him at number three. He's kind of like every prospect they've fallen in love with over the last few years, except better.
And would you say he impacts winning?
Yeah. Oh, yes. He's a winning impactor. For sure.
You're basically just he's a taller Marcus Smart, isn't he? Like, he's a Marcus Smart on the wing.
But he's more dynamic with the basketball. He's 6'8", which is a huge difference. And he's just coming out of college, so there's a chance that he won't shoot, you know, 29% or whatever it is from the 3-point arc forever. So I think I'm a Jackson guy, but I also see the merit of Tatum, and I would get wanting to pair another big-time scorer next to Isaiah Thomas, and I do think Tatum will score in the NBA right away. I love his potential as a 3-4 type of guy. I just have some questions about really questions about his competitiveness, I guess. I more just love Josh Jackson's competitiveness, and the Celtics know a lot more about these guys than I do. Honestly, I spent most of my time watching Markelle Fultz. I watched way too many Washington games. I had stories planned out to break down different parts of Markelle Fultz's game. And then the Celtics traded the top pick. So I had to do a little catching up on the other guys. I still try to do some homework before that, but I don't know these guys as well as I know Markelle Fultz. I certainly don't know them as well as Danny Ainge knows them. But my guy, I think I would go with Josh Jackson. And from talking to people around the league, the majority of people I speak to would prefer Josh Jackson over Jason Tatum. Not that that means anything to Danny Ainge, obviously, after he traded the top pick. But that's kind of where I am leaning. Anyway, Celtics might not even take the number three pick. They might not even keep it. They will have trade options. One of them, for whatever reason, might be Kristaps Porzingis. Adrian Wojnarowski reported Tuesday morning that the Knicks could consider moving Kristaps Porzingis, the unicorn, the 7'3" Latvian who shoots 36% from the 3-point arc on almost 5 attempts per game while blocking 2 shots per game. He's got superstar potential. I still don't think the Knicks will trade him. Like, I even when those first reports came out, even when Phil Jackson was like, it seemed like he was open to the possibility and pretty open to the possibility. Teams don't trade guys that young, that good. It just doesn't happen. You would have to overwhelm the Knicks, and the Celtics are in a position where they could overwhelm the Knicks, but I think they would have to pile on so much value, it might not make it worth it. If they could get Porzingis, hell yes. Like, Porzingis is really, really talented, really, really good. I don't know if it's an ideal fit next to Al Horford, but whatever. The guy's 21. He can help you win now. He can help you compete in the future. He's got a huge, huge, huge ceiling as a 7'3" guy who can shoot and score in the post and do a lot of different things. So I'm a huge Kristaps Porzingis guy. That whole story just shocked me that the Knicks would even consider trading him, but they're the Knicks, man. They are the Knicks.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Is that what made the rumor believable? And it feels like each Well, first we got a, like the next report that said they were doing this to try so Phil Jackson could try and keep his job, which was didn't make any sense, and that just sent NBA Twitter. That was a good just straight jokes and roasting Phil Jackson for about an hour. But then we hear more and more reports that basically they're not actively seeking to trade Kristaps, but it's like basically listening to offers, and their asking price has been incredibly high. So I would agree with you. I don't expect it to happen, but who knows? With as crazy as the NBA has gotten over the past 24 hours, it's definitely a possibility, and I think it's something the Celtics should consider. I was looking at the trade machine today, and it's like you could get him salary-wise for Jonas Jerebko or for like someone on a rookie deal. He's still on his rookie deal. There's no – like people don't get traded. Stars don't get traded on their rookie deal. It's just an absolutely absurd thing for it to be even proposed. Who leaked this to Adrian Wojnarowski? Like this seems like a – it just makes the Knicks look stupid. Maybe it's Kristaps' agent. I don't know, but it's it was just a wild report to see Woj tweet out. And I think if the Celtics, it's something you got to pursue. But if the Knicks are just asking for the moon and the stars, I guess it's. I just don't think it's going to happen.
My favorite part of the reports was the fallout. Like Kristaps' brother said a quote, which was like such a money quote, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was something like, "Despite the way the Knicks mistreat their players, Kristaps wants to stay in New York." And it was like, what the hell? Only the Knicks could have someone say a quote like that about them. It was just gold. Then you had all sorts of other reports about how the Knicks haven't talked to Kristaps Porzingis. The coaches haven't. The management hasn't. It's just totally crazy how they've mismanaged that. And you know what? I've said this before on the podcast. It really doesn't matter. Like, if the Knicks don't want to trade him, they don't have to, because he's under contract for two more seasons. He'll be a restricted free agent after that. They'll be able to match whatever contract he signs. So unless he wants to sign like the contract tender and then move somewhere else after that, which would even then be 3 years from now, he's going to be a Knick for a long time unless they trade him. And they would have to be crazy to trade him, but maybe they are. And then the other funny part about that was the part of Wojnarowski's report that was like, well, they met with Lauri Markkanen and are considering him as a Porzingis replacement. It's like Lauri Markkanen is no Kristaps Porzingis replacement. There are very few guys in the NBA who can do what Kristaps Porzingis does, and Lauri Markkanen, he can shoot, but he ain't going to come in and do what Kristaps Porzingis does. So that whole thing just had me dying laughing. What a wild, wild world the NBA is. What a wild franchise the Knicks are, and what a wild, wild president of basketball operations or GM, whatever he is, Phil Jackson has been. He has just bungled that whole situation. The Knicks are they're classic bunglers. Another
classic bunglers.
Another franchise that has been classic bungling for a long time, the Los Angeles Lakers. They pulled off a trade today, which was, I thought it was a good trade for both teams. So they traded D'Angelo Russell and Timofey Mozgov for Brooke Lopez and the 27th pick in the first round. I like the pick for both teams, but that's not what we care about on this podcast. This is a Celtics podcast, goddammit. So what's most interesting is it impacts so much for the Celtics. We already talked about the Lonzo Ball thing. Looks like the Lakers are going to take him at number two, and then it could impact both Celtics picks, both of the Celtics' best future first-round picks. 2018 Brooklyn Nets, I think they got worse by trading Brook Lopez. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, I would agree with that, but this is the thing that I love about Twitter and NBA Twitter is when that first trade came out, I think you got four different reactions to the trade. I think I saw people saying both that the Nets got better and the Nets got worse, and that the Lakers got better and the Lakers got worse. And I saw like four legitimate people all tweeting completely different reactions to that. My first reaction was Blake or Brook Lopez was one of the only reasons the Nets won any games last year. And I don't think replacing him with Mozgov and D'Angelo Russell is really going to kind of change their hopes for them next season. I think in the long term, D'Angelo Russell still has a chance to kind of evolve into a I guess, a better player in this league, but I don't think it makes the Nets immediately better for the next year. I think it definitely improves the Lakers' chances, but not astronomically. I still think there would be, if they don't do anything else, if they're done just with the offseason and then just add Lonzo Ball and Brooke Lopez, I still think they would be a lottery team. It's just I think they'd be on the borderline of kind of the fifth worst team in the league, and it'd be a lot of fun to root against the Lakers in that scenario.
Yeah, and I'm with you on the Nets probably getting worse shorthand. I think Russell, with freedom and the ball in his hands, probably has a little bit of upside, some downside too for Brooklyn. But I think losing Brooke Lopez, one of their only quality players, probably they're one of two next to Jeremy Lin, like that's a big deal for their win total. The Nets still have a lot of things that they're going to look to try to do this summer. They'll try to use their cap space, I'm sure, like they tried last season. They'll probably try to throw a huge offer sheet at a restricted free agent. They'll try to do a lot of things to improve their team and get young guys with talent. So I don't think they're done. It's possible that they won't be one of the very, very, very worst teams in the league, but it's safe to say they're going to be pretty bad. It's safe to say that pick will still be a quality one for the Celtics. The Lakers, I still think they're really bad. Like, Brook Lopez, he's an injury risk. He's still not great. And, you know, they're adding Lonzo Ball. Well, he's a rookie point guard. Rookie point guard, that's typically not the recipe for winning. I know Lonzo Ball has his
They've never been good.
Yeah, I know Lonzo Ball has his reputation for lifting up everybody around him, but rookie point guards, like, they typically aren't winning players. There aren't many winning players right now on that Lakers roster. The one thing that could make them a winning team, or at least a decent team that won't be in the lottery, is if they go out and get Paul George. And there are rumors that they're trying to get Paul George in a trade with the Indiana Pacers. Obviously, because of this trade, there are now rumors that the Lakers are angling to get the cap space to sign LeBron and Paul George next summer as it is. So Lakers they're setting themselves up to try to do some big things. Paul George is one that could come quickly. If you're a Celtics fan, you root against the Lakers getting Paul George, because if they do get him, any hopes of that pick conveying in 2018 and being in the top five from Los Angeles, I think goes out the door. And then that would delay that pick coming until 2019, and who knows what the Kings and Sixers will be then, although I suspect they will both be pretty bad. It might not be a top five pick, and I think this trade looks best if the Celtics get, in addition to number three this year, another top five pick either next year or the year after.
Yeah, and it seems like with all that keeps getting tweeted out and reported that the Lakers are in kind of they really want to get Paul George this offseason. I just saw David Aldridge report that the Lakers were actually in talks to trade the second pick, which would be Lonzo Ball, to the Kings for the 5 and 10, and then they would use one of those picks in a package to get Paul George. Ultimately, the Kings said no, which is interesting because I think that idea has been rumored in terms of the Celtics trading down for 5 and 10. So if the Kings said no to the 2, they're obviously not going to say it for the 3. But it seems like there's a clear market for Paul George ever since he told the Pacers he wasn't going to be there. They're definitely – it seems like he's going to get moved by the draft. So it seems like the Lakers are kind of going all in on trying to get him in there this year. So there's no chance that he maybe – ends up with Cleveland or ends up on another team and re-signs there. And yeah, that would be a huge negative impact for the Celtics, who have not been mentioned at all in kind of the Paul George trade rumors. I can't remember which NBA insider tweeted out the kind of the list of teams that were kind of going after him. But the Celtics were interestingly not on that list. And just going back to the trade that the Lakers did make, it kind of is interesting to me just from a draft perspective about that they, in order to basically dump Timothy Mozgov and get some cap space, they were willing to part ways with D'Angelo Russell, who was the second pick only 2 years ago. It just kind of goes to show you that the draft is like, it's a real crapshoot. I mean, like, he was the consensus top. He was a consensus top three pick. Him and Jahlil Okafor. And I know that that draft was like a lot less heralded than this draft, but it just goes to show, like, once these guys, once these 18, 19-year-old kids get into the league, a lot of things can change. And really, although there might be consensus among scouts before the draft, we have no idea how they're going to react or what they're going, what situation they're going to be in. And the fact that D'Angelo Russell, the second pick, was just kind of given away so they can have a chance at cap space next summer, kind of goes to show you that, like, and I don't think this – I don't want people to take it as like a me saying that the Celtics – like that Markelle Fultz isn't going to be good or something like that. It's just that at this point, they haven't played a minute in the NBA. So people can – like people are really upset on Twitter about the idea of the Celtics drafting Tatum, and there's like anti-Tatum people and anti-Jackson people. And it's really like we have no idea at this point if they're going to be good. They played 1 year in college. Tatum was hurt for the start of that year. It's just – I think people in, with their draft analysis and their YouTube analysis get really a little bit too far into it because none of us really have any idea what we're talking about.
I love the YouTube analysis, man. It cracks me up when people get buck wild out here. It's too funny to me, man. Like I love it. I'm all in on overreaction. I can't wait until Celtics 76ers in game one of Summer League. Because that is going to be the peak of overreaction, like absolute peak. If Markelle Fultz has 30 points, Celtics fans are going to weep. If, you know, Josh Jackson or Jason Tatum lights him up, Celtics fans are going to celebrate and praise
Danny. I'm just excited for Danny Ainge to draft Dennis Smith and then those two point guards to go head-to-head. Then people will really go crazy.
Oh, man. What a wild world that would be. I wouldn't put it past Ainge to do something like that, but it would be a strange move at this point if he takes anyone outside of Tatum or Josh Jackson. I think everybody else is considered a tier below. I mean, De'Aaron Fox, maybe you could get someone who says he's in there. Dennis Smith, like, I do think he has huge upside, but I think there's also too much downside with him. And, yeah, this is just a wild time. I still can't believe everything that's going on in the NBA today. Like, so much stuff happened today that we almost didn't even remember the Kristaps Porzingis rumor from earlier in the day. Like, it has just been a batshit crazy day. Totally.
We haven't even mentioned that Dwight Howard got traded today from the Atlanta Hawks to the Hornets or whatever while he was on NBA doing a Q&A about the NBA draft. That's just fantastic stuff. The Hawks and the Hornets were like their two Twitter feeds got in like a funny conversation today about how they were going to trade tweets for later and that in the Hawks mentions everyone they said they should trade for everyone. And then they ended up actually exchanging a deal where the Hawks are basically tanking at this point. They went from a 60-win team to losing Dwight or losing Al Horford, losing Paul Millsap, and then trading away Dwight Howard in a salary dump, which is just a wild, wild move. And that came out of really nowhere. It's kind of crazy just how much things are changing right now in the NBA. And I don't like. Is this all just a reaction to the Warriors? It's that people are just going, all right, like this is the new NBA reality. Everyone's trying to adjust, and just like anyone can get traded at any time.
Yeah, and it's funny, man. So Al Horford was obviously like the Hawks are probably sitting there just thinking like, why the hell didn't we just pay Al Horford the max rather than like $6 million or whatever they were haggling over that allowed him. Open the door, I think, for the Celtics to swoop in there. We got Anna Horford on Twitter LOLing at the trade, Al Horford's sister. We've got and the Celtics, like, it's funny how I think the Hawks fan base was pretty happy, or part of the Hawks fan base, like, thought that Dwight Howard could potentially, in some ways, be an upgrade over Al Horford, and 1 year later, they have traded him for the bad Plumlee brother, So the Dwight Howard era did not go well in Atlanta. They should have ponied up. They should have committed to Al Horford right away. They should have tried to keep him in town. Now God knows what they're doing.
Or they should have traded him at the deadline or traded Paul Millsap at the deadline, because now they're walking away with the Marco Bellinelli, the bad Plumlee, when they had, could have gotten a lot of stuff for both Horford and Millsap.
Yeah, I don't get that. Like, holding on to those guys too long is one thing, but then holding on to those guys and going in a different direction once they hit free agency is another. Like, if you were going to disrespect Al Horford by not offering him the max, you should have just traded him earlier. If you were going to trade away Dwight Howard so that Paul Millsap probably wants to leave and there's not much left there for him, you probably should have just traded Paul Millsap when you had a chance. So I imagine that means Paul Millsap is leaving the Atlanta Hawks. That team was so fun a couple years ago, 60 wins, and now there's just nothing left from that squad. It was just decimated so quickly. LeBron just wiped away another team off the face of the Eastern Conference universe, and now the Hawks are left with God knows what moving forward. I don't know what they're going to do. They've got a weird future now. I guess they had a weird future anyway, but this is just another weird move. We got the bad Plumlee brother changing places.
I didn't know there was a good Plumlee brother.
the less talented Plumlee brother. Well, I would say the middle talented Plumlee brother. There's too many of them. But yeah, Al Horford. Hawks probably should have just kept that guy instead of go after Dwight Howard, who has alienated yet another team, as it seems clear based on the return they got, which was nothing, absolutely nothing. Another guy. This is like rumor day, movement day. Today is just mad. Jimmy Butler. We haven't even talked about the Jimmy Butler saga, so apparently Jimmy Butler has informed the Bulls that he does not want to be traded. He has informed the Cavs that he does not want to be traded to them. And from Jimmy Butler's perspective, that makes sense. Like, if Jimmy Butler stays in Chicago, he may not be on great teams, but he's got that mega extension looming as a carrot in the future. If he gets traded anywhere else, that's not going to happen. The thing for Jimmy Butler is he's not Carmelo Anthony. He doesn't have a no-trade clause. He has no say at this point in whether he leaves. And he's got long enough time on his contract that he doesn't have as much leverage in this as Paul George, who can, you know, threaten to go to L.A. and kind of limit his market. Jimmy Butler has none of that. So, sorry, Jimmy, like, it doesn't really matter what you're saying to these teams. It doesn't really matter what you said to the Bulls. If they want to trade you and they find somebody who's going to trade you, they're going to do it. And obviously, he's been in trade rumors forever. The Bulls haven't found the right trade yet. But if they are being active about trading Jimmy Butler now, a Jimmy Butler trade kind of feels more possible to me now than it has in the past.
Yeah, well, if you look at the Bulls are looking at the Pacers situation with Paul George, you think they'd be kind of extra motivated to move him, because look at the deals they're getting now offered for George are the 27th pick, the 28th pick, and Jordan Clarkson for Paul fucking George. Like, the longer Jimmy Butler stays with the Bulls organization, just his how much they can get back for him just goes down. So if they don't trade him this offseason, it's just like what they can get back goes down at next year's deadline, and it just keeps on going down. So if you would think the Bulls would be motivated to move him. Now, there's that report out today that they offered up the Jimmy Butler straight up for the third pick, and the Celtics said no. One reason not to believe that report is that's just not how trades work in the NBA. You can't trade a salary directly for a pick unless there's directly in the, that's just not how, like, directly in the cap space. I think that might work, but I just don't think, like, that's a preposterous report. But people out of Chicago keep on kind of just saying that they're very interested in moving Butler, and it makes sense for the Bulls to kind of act like the Hawks and kind of go into the full tank and rebuild mode. But I just don't think the offer was ever on the table, Jimmy Butler straight up for the number three. With that being said, if the Celtics can somehow get Jimmy Butler without moving the third pick or giving up some sort of some salary and maybe one of the other future firsts they have that are not going to be in potentially the top five. I think it's definitely something they have to consider. And who knows what other teams the Celtics are always going to be in the talk for every star just because of the amount of assets they have. But at this point, it's kind of difficult for the Celtics to try and figure these things out without knowing what's going to happen with Gordon Hayward, because they're going to want to have max cap space to sign him, and adding Jimmy Butler to that and then having to re-sign Isaiah. Then you meet kind of like you're getting your salary up there basically near tax level with only like four or five guys on the roster. It's definitely something that the Celtics will – I expect them to explore, but ultimately taking the final plunge and committing to what I think would be Isaiah Thomas, Jimmy Butler, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford, the amount of money they would need to like – pay those guys over two seasons would just be absurd.
Now we've got a report from Chris Haynes at ESPN. This is just coming out right now, that the Clippers have gauged the market on potentially trading DeAndre Jordan. What? So add DeAndre Jordan to the list of names that could potentially be available. What on earth? And that kind of makes sense. I'm actually surprised nobody speculated about that before, because Blake Griffin's a free agent. Chris Paul's a free agent. The Clippers, like, their future is totally murky right now. So if one of those other guys leaves, then, you know, what are they going to do? Even if both those guys stays, what the hell are they going to do? Like, Clippers, they've kind of maxed out. I don't know what they do with this current core, but Doc Rivers, who left for greener pastures, would have been a lot better off staying in Boston. I wonder if he'll give Danny Ainge a call about DeAndre Jordan.
Obviously. The reported deal, though, was offered. The Clippers offered DeAndre to the Suns for Tyson Chandler in the number four, and the Suns said no to that. So I'm sure they gave the Clippers a call. You know the Doc Rivers likes some former Celtics players. Just give him Avery Bradley straight up, and he'll probably do that. But Jerry West is now like the GM of the Clippers, which is another thing that randomly happened over the past couple of days. It's just wild stuff. There's so many rumors swirling that I like can't even get myself to come up with fake trades, because it's just everything is so wild right now that it's just nothing makes sense. Like my brain's not physically able right now to come up with a potential fake trade for DeAndre Jordan, because I just don't know what the number three pick is like worth. It's crazy town.
It's like everybody's on the market. Everybody's available. It's just a free-for-all. And then on top of all of that, we haven't even talked about this yet. There's the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have parted ways with general manager David Griffin, maybe pissed off LeBron James, who was a big David Griffin fan, and could be, you know, looking at the end of an era if they piss off LeBron enough that he leaves in free agency a year from now. So the Cleveland Cavaliers, like, that is a situation that is totally combustible. Like, LeBron could be out the door if he doesn't like their new GM choice. If anything goes wrong, LeBron's already won his title in Cleveland. He can leave, and he's left before. I wouldn't be surprised if he's looking to L.A., which people have speculated. I wouldn't be surprised if he's looking elsewhere. It is just a totally insane NBA world right now. I don't know whether it's because the Warriors have just spooked everyone, and everyone's like, what the hell do we do? The Warriors are just this mighty mountain that nobody can overcome. Why don't we all just make trades and get totally crazy elsewhere? But it's nuts. And if Cleveland does combust, obviously Boston's sitting there in pole position to take over the Eastern Conference. So there's a lot for Danny Ainge to think about, a ton for Danny Ainge to think about. This is all, like, the NBA is moving at warp speed right now. It is totally insane, totally nuts, and I have no idea what's going to happen next, but I know it's going to be entertaining.
It's like every team reacting to the Warriors. It's like, okay, we got to get all the stars into maybe four teams, and then everyone else is going to tank and just kind of be waiting to rebuild. But in that interim period, let's just consolidate all the power in the top five teams. We also didn't mention that apparently the Spurs have convinced Pau Gasol to not take his player option that would pay him $19 million and to re-sign for a smaller deal. Only the Spurs can do that. But that makes the Spurs a huge player in possibly Chris Paul free agency, Kyle Lowry free agency. It just gives them a whole lot more cap space to play with. All of these stories have happened in the last 24 hours, and it's just absurd. There's also the rumor that Kyle Lowry has zero interest in returning to the Raptors, and he's going to be definitely leaving Toronto. I have no idea if that's
– He went on Twitter and denied that. So it is just totally, totally crazy.
It's the Wild West right now, and feel like I can't go to bed. Like, I've been glued – all day to my tweet deck, and when I get bored of looking at my tweet deck, I turn to my phone and check Twitter there. Like, that's all I've been doing. I've been turned on notifications for every single news breaker. It's just just pump it straight into my veins. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, this is nuts, man. That's all we got, I think. As soon as we stop recording, there's going to be another new rumor to discuss, and so we're sorry about all the rumors we'll miss that take place after we stop recording, but there will be more to come in the next couple of days. There will be more podcasts to come. We are the only Monday through Friday Celtics podcast. We are the best Celtics podcast there ever will be. The Locked On Celtics podcast, go search for us wherever you listen to podcasts, Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever else. Leave us a 5-star rating, subscribe to us, listen to us every day. That's it for this episode, this crazy and totally insane episode about a wild and crazy NBA. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.